Carol Lawson, age 39. Today's date is October 26th, 2007, Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm interviewing my mother.
I am Yvonne Y. Clark, 78. Today's date is October the 26th, 2007, Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm being interviewed by my daughter.
So, Yvonne, Mom.
Thank you.
Tell me, why did you want to become an engineer?
Okay. I wanted to ferry airplanes between the United States and England, okay? And I thought you had to be an engineer just to get the airplanes from one, the USA, to the kingdom.
Okay, so why exactly did you even come up with that? Where'd that come from?
When I was in high school, I had the opportunity to take an aeronautics course.
What about even before then? When you were in elementary school, middle school?
Okay, at home with the stoker furnace, that's where you automatically feed small chunks of coal to the furnace, mm-hmm. and it gives you heat in the house. Every once in a while, an oversized piece of coal would get stuck in the stoker, and I'd go down and take it out and then allow the house to be coal to be fed to the furnace to keep the house warm.
Okay. Were there any people that ever kind of came by that maybe introduced you to some things?
Oh, Mom and Dad had parties, and the Guideman Field pilots would come by the house, and you'd hear them talk about their flyings around the United States and the world, and that was the black pilot group that really knew how to take off at Guideman Air Force Field, and the runway was really too short for bombers.
Okay.
So the guys knew how to stand on the brakes, rev up the motor, and when they turned the brakes loose, they would go up and use the short runway and take off successfully.
Okay.
And I've heard that more than once at the house.
So how did that kind of, what impact did that make on you?
It made me want to fly. And Mom had a friend, Jimmy Lunsford. He had an airplane, and he let me take over the controls once he took off, and Mom was on the passenger seat in the back. It was nice.
So that's kind of where it all began.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mom's friends and allowing me to fly because they knew I was interested in it. And I also was a squad leader in the Civil Air Patrol.
Okay.
High school, okay. Central High in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
They would take us to the armory.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to shoot a rifle prone in sitting position and also how to fire a .45 standing up.
Okay.
I was Annie Oakley.
So when you went to high school, you said you took a class.
Uh-huh.
What class was this?
Aeronautics, along with a year of physics and a year of chemistry. I don't like biology. My highest degree of biology was general science. And then I took a year of chemistry, a year of physics, and a year of aeronautics. So I had more than the 2.5 years required.
So aeronautics class.
Oh, that was cool. We would make planes, we build planes, and we used, the propellers were, I guess you would say, run by a rubber band.
Okay.
You would go out on the fire escape, roll your propeller till it wouldn't turn anymore, and then aim it at the football field and watch it fly.
Okay, so yeah. That's kind of where the whole spark began.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about, so now we've gone through high school, and now do we go to college?
Yeah, we finally get there.
So how did that, so tell me about that year, those years.
Okay.
Right before college.
I was 16 a month when I finished high school.
So you graduated at 16?
At 16, I graduated from high school.
Okay.
and mom and dad, if I wanted engineering, they didn't put obstacles in front of me. They said, if you want it, you will. So I went to Boston for 2 years. Mom had set up a library at Marine Corps, can't think of the city, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she met people there in setting up the library at the Marine base. And I went to Boston. For the first year, I stayed with Colonel Snowden and attended Girls Latin High School. And my high school diploma put me in the sophomore class,
okay,
where I took French and Latin, et cetera.
Okay.
And it was all right. And then my second year in Boston, I went to high school, Roxbury Memorial High School for Girls.
Okay.
And there I was considered a postdoc who had already a diploma from high school.
Okay. So now we're 2 years later.
2 years later, I'm going to apply
mm-hmm.
for college. I applied to the University of Louisville,
mm-hmm.
down the street from me in Louisville, University of Illinois at Urbana, and Howard University in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I had my own mutts or whatever. I wanted to be in the dorm.
Okay. So at the University of
Illinois, I could not get in the dorm. It was already full.
Okay.
At Howard University.
University of Louisville.
University of Louisville. I couldn't get in.
Why?
A black down south.
Okay.
Segregation was still flourishing. So I left that alone for a little while. Went to Howard, got in the dorm, and University of Louisville paid my tuition at Howard University.
Okay.
I asked Mom, well, we live right there in Louisville. Why can't we get room and board? Mom said, leave it alone, honey.
Okay.
Leave it alone. I said, okay, Mom, you're in charge.
And so now we're at Howard. Okay.
Girls' dormitory.
Girls' dormitory.
Crandall Hall.
And what was our major at Howard?
I was mechanical engineer at Howard, and the only one at that point majoring.
The only what?
Female.
Okay.
Yeah, we had plenty of students. ironically, that's when the World War II guys came back.
Okay.
So I only had about maybe two classmates who were not World War II vets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think Mom thought about that.
Okay.
But
so we are at Howard University.
Yeah.
And only female.
Female in mechanical engineering.
Okay.
And my roommate was a liberal arts person.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been a cheerleader wherever she came from. I can't remember right now where Janet came from, but that's beside the point. And so I said, okay, I'll go with you.
Mm-hmm.
I made the cheering squad, and she did not. And I never cheered in front of anybody in my life.
So now you are a mechanical engineering student and a cheerleader.
That's correct.
Oh, what a great combo.
It was. The cheerleading was my release.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, I did have to study.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened while you were in college? Anything in that sticks out as far as any of your classes or any of your teachers?
Oh, one of my teachers, mechanical lab, manufacturing lab. Well, anyway, we made models, and we poured metal, and I still have my project that I made when I was there at Howard. And the teacher gave me a sanding assignment, meaning I had to shovel the sand to make the molds to pour the metal in.
So was it heavy?
I didn't pick up a whole shovel of sand. I picked up enough that I could handle and not be sore when I finished class. So I might take 4 or 5 shovels of sand to get one good shovel of sand.
Okay.
But I didn't hurt myself, and teacher saw me over there. Young, why are you on sand? That was my assignment, sir. Let's put you someplace else right now, and that's what we did. He took me off of sand, and I mm-hmm. went someplace else mm-hmm. in the classroom. I think I ended up molding the sand to pour the metal in.
Okay. Now, so we have gone through Howard University. And we graduated as a...
The first female in the history of Howard University to finish mechanical engineering.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So now we're done with college.
Yes.
For the moment.
For the
so
moment.
Now what do we do?
Well, we got an interview as seniors to get that job that I want.
So how'd that go?
Well, it had its ups and downs, but it was all positive. With the Navy, everybody can sign up. So when I got to the interview, he looked at me and said, I don't think I can hire you. I said, okay, what's the problem now? He said, you are female, and all engineers go out on a shakedown cruise, and the omen is no female on a shakedown cruise.
So he could not. This on the ships?
On the ships.
Mm-hmm.
Ship, Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed that he couldn't hire me. So I said, okay, I tell you what, I'll go on to my next interview, and you can finish your paperwork, and this can be a plus. He said, thank you. I went on to my next interview. The next interview might not have been the same day, but it was with another company, but those engineers worked up by taking down or undoing the machinery so you would know how it was put together, and I wouldn't weigh enough. So I said, you give me a long enough lever, and I can take down anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, yeah, but we might have a space constraint on how long that lever can be. So once again, I wished him well, said, now you can finish your paperwork, and I'll go on to the next interview.
Okay.
And everything was a positive.
Okay.
All right.
So we finally got a job.
Yes, I got a job with Frankfurt Arsenal Gauge Lab in Philadelphia. Mom and Dad, in the meantime, when are you going to unpack? I'm not going to unpack, Mom. I got a job coming from somewhere.
Might take
2 months, and I had a job, and I was headed for Philadelphia. Mom, everybody's smiling now. The trunk's out of the living room and everything else. But I go to Philadelphia. I report to Frankfurt Arsenal Gauge Lab and go in on overtime.
Okay, you're working a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
8 hours is a natural day. I think I was putting in 10 or 11.
Okay.
So something happened, and somebody found out that as an engineer, I was making more than the guys who came up through the ranks. So they got kind of upset, this female making more money than I am, and she just out of college,
mm-hmm.
not even dry behind the ears. So they talked to the supervisor. Supervisor talked to me. I said, no problem. I now can go see Philadelphia because you all brought me in on overtime.
So what did they do?
What you mean, what did they do?
Are you
talking about you waiting? No.
You mean you were on overtime, so what happened different?
I went back to regular time, 8 hours a day. Got me some time to go visit Philadelphia.
Excellent.
And see what's happening.
Okay.
Down the road at Frankfurt Arsenal, two guys, at that time you had to have a seat to get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time for me to put paperwork in to get my raise. And they said, we can't even think about that until the two men in the group got their bank loan approved to start up their business. I've never depended on anybody else to move me along, so with my no overtime, I went looking for another job.
Okay. So what happened? Where'd the next job come from?
RCA, Camden, New Jersey, right across the river.
Okay.
And I went in for an interview. It was in October, I think, because they bring in new recruits about twice or three times a year.
Okay.
And I think the last recruiting might have been in June. So I went in, and relaying what happened to my mom, she said, how'd the interview go? I said, it went all right with me. So she said, what are some of the questions they asked? I said, well, the one that sticks out, Mom, is the question was, which president candidate would I choose to be the next president? I had a choice of Eisenhower and Truman. I chose Truman. And this guy said, well, what was your reason for getting Truman? I said, Eisenhower was trained to take orders. Truman was not an Army person, and therefore he could go for whatever his conscience told him to do. Mom said, I think you just blew it. How I blew it, Mom? Industry is Republican. Oh, well, he asked me what I would choose. I told him, I gave him my reason. That's the Alpha and Omega. Forget that one. If I don't get the job, I can sleep at night.
2 weeks later?
I got a telegram coming, say, can you report XYZ? I said, 2 weeks, I can give no. Yes, I can report. Gave my 2 weeks notice, and I was on RCA's payroll.
So what was significant about you being at RCA?
I was the only female, black female, mechanical engineer. First black female engineer that they had had. As well as the guy, I think I might have been the only female there, or the only mechanical. I was the only one, whatever the subject was. And the guy who was over the group knew how EEs think or thought, and he said...
EEs, what are EEs?
Oh, electrical engineers, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Electrical engineers thought, and he told them, if this mechanical engineer can't put your lines on something that'll make it work, you're in trouble. So she's the one that will make your lines do. And we've got telephones, we've got short circuit breakers, everything that you use, a machine made. Mm-hmm. And we as mechanical engineers have to make the design the machine to get what you all want designed.
Excellent.
Okay.
So now we've been at RCA.
Frankfurt Arsenal. Mm-hmm.
And then we did something at Ford Glass Plant. What happened at Ford?
Okay, I'm getting ready to get married. I'm going to go to Nashville. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bring my husband up north because I know what I can do. So he said, how about a diamond ring? I said, I was born in April. My mom and dad gave me for my 18th birthday a diamond. So let's get a house together. Now you got to pick two so I can choose, because you're going to pick the two, therefore you are satisfied. When I choose one of your two, we are satisfied. And I picked the house that I live in right now. Mm-hmm. I've added on, but that's the house I chose, and we living there.
So how about Ford Glass Plant?
Oh, well, since I was still in industry, and I went by the Ford Glass Plant because it's a plant, and I am a mechanical designer, so I go by to see if I can get a job. And they told me, in quotes.
Excuse me, is this in Nashville?
Oh, Nashville, Tennessee, right okay. down the road from Centennial, okay. which is, okay. yes, Nashville. And they told me, we have no use for you. And that's the quote that they gave me when I went to
apply. And why did they say that?
A black female down south.
Okay.
So I went down the road mm-hmm. a little ways to Tennessee State University and said, Do y'all need a mechanical engineer for an instructor to instruct your students?
Okay, and so we became employed.
We became employed, and most of the guys had either retired from industry mm-hmm. or had ties with industry. No one came straight up through the ranks like they do today.
Okay.
So, and they had masters. We had one or two doctors, but we were... Anyway, they were doing well.
Okay. So mm-hmm. what was the significance about you being at TSU?
Oh, I was the first female engineer hired at TSU. And they promised me an associate professor, but they had to give me an instructorship because the guy whose place I took left due to money.
Gotcha.
So I accepted the job, and pennies worth of nothing is better than nothing.
There you go. Uh-huh. So now there was somebody there that knew you.
Oh, Dr. Davis, the president, knew of me but didn't know me.
Okay.
Because now I'm a clerk.
Right.
He knew Mom and Dad. They knew Mom and Dad because they had been to my house in Louisville to derbies.
Okay.
Mom and Dad had derby parties like everybody else mm-hmm. does. And Dr. Davis, not knowing who I was, said...
Now, he had heard that they had hired a female?
He heard that they had hired a female, and he said, who brought this renegade in here?
Renegade.
I said, okay. So when he found out who I was, he had no problem, but I didn't have a problem in the first place.
Great.
Yeah.
So how many females were in that building when you got there?
The engineering building had two females, the dean's secretary and myself.
All righty.
We chose stalls in the one
women's bathroom,
restroom in the building, three floors.
Excellent. So we are at TSU,
correct.
Tennessee State University,
correct.
Working as a mechanical engineer,
correct.
In the department. And in a few years later, you worked with NASA at the Marshall Space Center.
Okay.
In Huntsville?
Yes. Oh, wow. That was a rough one that summer. They had me doing 6 degrees of freedom, and that means the piece itself has three axes, X, Y, Z, and the Earth has three axes, X, Y, Z. That's how you get to 6 degrees of freedom. And that was my first encounter with the government at that level. So I had to call all my professors in mathematics. What am I doing? And they would explain it. Fine. I got a paper out of that particular assignment, and it is in the archives, was it United States, whatever, where you put...
Library of Congress?
Library of Congress, thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you were there, what else did you work on?
Oh, I also had worked on the manned spacecraft, Saturn V, and we were having hot spots, or they were having hot spots. So my assignment was to find out what causes the hot spots.
Okay.
So I went through all of this mathematics, all of these designs, everything. I said, I can't find anything wrong with the design.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down to, I might have taken a trip down to Florida, where the space Saturn V was, but I don't think I had to go because I asked some specific questions and got some specific answers.
Mm-hmm.
The guy in the field had forgotten to tighten the covers on the wires, the cover of the wires. So what we were doing was absorbing the heat from the ignition, and that was giving us the hot spots.
Oh, so you were able to figure that out.
We did figure it out. I figured it out, and we don't have that problem anymore.
Right.
Amen.
So you also worked with NASA in Houston.
Okay. I got a fellowship, ASWE, mm-hmm. American Society of Engineering Education, and the administration, the vice president, wanted me to take it. Well, I didn't want to go, but I took my son, and I went anyway. You find out you just go on and do what your supervisor wants you to do and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there. My assignment was to help design the box that brings the samples back from the moon.
What samples?
Moon samples, the rocks from the moon, and I worked on it and was successful on what the part I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And as an engineer, you know, until the project takes off, if somebody else is still working on it, because we improved by redoing, getting a new miner here.
So this was the box. You worked on the box that Neil Armstrong brought the rocks back from the moon.
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, during this time, you also have moved up at TSU. You got a new position.
Yes, I'm department head.
Okay.
I was taking condolences as well as congratulations.
Okay.
Naturally the first female mechanical engineer or just department head, I did what I had to do, and I looked around and saw we needed some more female engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going around to the schools. I did the senior career day mm-hmm. bit, and I said, these kids don't even have a clue on what I need for engineering, so let me go down into the elementary school. And is a neighborhood school. I started visiting there to second grade with permission from the teachers, and they would give me 10 or 15 minutes just to talk to the kids, the students, and let them know what they needed, and to help them help the counselor give them the courses that they needed for education and not for vocation.
Excellent. Excellent. So that was kind of one of your, this is what's going to happen on my watch.
That's right.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so we got hired at Ford Motor Company?
Oh, yes. That was something else. I got a Kellogg Foundation, and so I went back to school.
Okay.
I couldn't pull as much as the men pulled because I was a female, but I got back to school.
You mean you couldn't pull the salary?
They were salaried. They were, okay. They were paid a stipend of $300, and I got $125, and they didn't even take out Uncle Sam, so I had to go borrow money to pay Uncle Sam because you got to pay income tax on that money. They won't do that again.
Right. So where'd you go to get the
I went to Vanderbilt University, where, again, even though I had sent two of my students over there, mechanical engineer, male, I happened to have been the first female engineer, but not the first black, because I had sent two students over there for the engineering management program.
All right. So you were instrumental in integrating.
Yes.
But you helped bring some femininity to the group.
That's right.
Okay.
I was the female who graduated.
Okay.
But the program is 2 years. You sandwich the year in whatever to get the data from your master's thesis.
Okay.
So this is the year between the fall and spring semester that I got my data. Mm-hmm. Okay. The engineering program has an advisory. Most of them have advisories, boards, and Mr. Mullen was asked by one of my classmates, because I had already gotten my stuff back ready back at TSU outside of engineering, and he asked Mr. Mullen, Mr. Mullen, can you get a job for Bonnie? That was my nickname in the group. At Ford Glass Plant? And Mr. Mullen said, I'm sure I can. I'm manager of the engineering plant group. And so I now am back at Ford as an employee January, again, 1971.
So this is the same Ford that said, we have no use for you. Excellent.
Now, it might be, 55 to 70? Maybe 15 years, right. But, don't ever give up.
There you go.
And but Charlie Mullen, because I was already in school, forgot to put me on salary. So a couple of days later, security comes over to my desk. I said, what have I done now? And they, please fill out this paperwork and get
so
it back to
us.
we can pay you. But okay. In the meantime, because I was the first female engineer who happened to be black, I had an interview with the top management, the middle management. Well, at my level, Mullins knew me. Charlie Mullen knew me because he was on the advisory board for the group.
Mm-hmm.
So Akins was my supervisor. And all of them said, if you have any problems, let us know. So when Akins said that, I said, let me get my cigarettes, please. And I went back to the desk. We were smoking in those days. And got my cigarettes and came in and closed the door. I said, okay, what's my assignment? He said, now let me say this. If you have any problems, please let me know. Everybody was interested in getting me off of their conscience. I said, you let me know if I have a problem because I don't look for them. They slapped me in the face. So you will see it before I will. Do me the favor and tell me I got a problem.
Excellent.
He said, okay. I said, thank you. Now, here's your assignment. And I said, okay. 2 years behind? Man, but that's okay. Engineers, we know everything we ordered. And these guys ordered this stuff 2 years ago.
What was 2 years behind?
The rebuild of the number one float glass furnace.
Okay.
2 years behind. So I had a copy of what everybody had ordered. I went to each engineer in the group. And by this time, we had no problems. I told this guy, I said, look in the your bottom drawer in the back and see if you can find these pieces of equipment that you ordered. Mm-hmm. Everybody found what they had ordered 2 years earlier. Everybody, 100%.
So you had all the information you needed?
Well, most of it. I had to go find my brick-hole block that holds up the furnace.
Okay.
That's what you use to build the furnace with.
Bottom line?
Bottom line is the third shift would move them every other day in the warehouse. So I would get on a tow truck and go around in the warehouse and relocate them. Right, just relocate them. So when I needed them, I knew exactly where they were, and the guys could start building, continue to build.
So your project was?
On time, we fired up on schedule, and it worked.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So now we're back at TSU.
No, we had to go to Vanderbilt and write the damn thing. Excuse me. Write it up. And my advisor was one of the teachers, Dr. Goshen. And you always heard all these tales about, I want 300 pages, I want 30 pages, I want. I said, Dr. Goshen, how many pages do you want this thesis to be? He said, Bonnie, if you can do it in one page, I'll accept it. Mm-hmm. I said, thank you. I forgot, now I still got the master's thesis, but I forgot how many pages I wrote because he would take it in one page.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So we're back at TSU. We
yes.
get our degree, Vanderbilt from Vanderbilt.
Yes.
We're back at TSU.
Mm-hmm. And our new dean has stepped into the picture. And he tells me that I'm looking for my raise. That's why I went and got my master's. Even
right.
though it satisfied mom and dad, mm-hmm. they were still living. That was the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
He tells me, you are married. I said, do you see my husband sitting here with me? I am the engineer who came back looking for her raise. I'm still looking, sir. Now you find out what I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my raise. Wasn't as big as I expected it to be, but I got a raise. And the gentleman left in the middle of a year.
All righty.
You went to California. The next step would have been the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
But he left. I didn't push him.
There you go.
I might have helped, but I didn't push.
So we also did, you did some work with the Department of Energy.
Oh, I had two researchers.
What was the one with the refrigerant?
Oh, there was a protocol, Montreal Protocol, where the Freon was really going out. It was replacing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what my research did was to compare the drop-in with the properties of Freon that we thought was the last word in air conditioning.
Okay.
My research that we put together, the machine, the equipment, et cetera, had two compressors because one of the drop-ins was a different pressure, used a different compressor. So I had two compressors.
So basically your research kind of actually has snowballed into now the mandates of about the SEER 10 and SEER 13 that everybody has on their air conditioning units at the
house.
That's
correct.
Excellent. Okay. Now, I also know that there's a scholarship at TSU in your name?
Oh, yes. The Nashville Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority put me in their budget under YY Clark, $1,000 for a female Tennessean junior female engineer to get a $1,000 scholarship.
Excellent.
Yes.
And then I know you've been written up in a couple magazines.
Yes. Ebony, Jet, and a couple of others.
Okay.
But those most people can recognize.
And then most recently, not most recently, but this distinguished, the Society of Women Engineers have awarded you with the...
A Distinguished Education Award,
okay.
Service Award, and that was in Houston, Texas. And that's another arm. I integrated, I was the integration of the Society of Women Engineers. I joined after I finished college in 1952, and I joined. I am the integration. So when they went to Houston, they told the Sheraton Hotel that we are an integrated organization, and we like to have our national conference here. And the management said, that's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when the integration showed up, they had a problem, and they wanted my paper. I said, no, this is my paperwork. You go find yours. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, the president, by this time now, has seen, oh, Clark's got a problem, and she comes out to where I am at the registration, and she decided that she was going to pull the convention. I said, no, we will not pull a national conference in Houston, Texas. And we did not pull them. But they sat down to see how I could attend since I had paid my registration. And they met me at the front door because Aunt Constance was still there. That's Mom's sister in Houston. And I was seen every other place. When anybody wanted something, they would come find Clark, and then we'd go get cigarettes and things.
So basically, the Sheraton wanted to hide you, but the Society of Women Engineers made sure that you were seen throughout the building
and throughout at every occasion. Every occasion on the national,
excellent,
at the national conference.
Excellent.
And then the society decided they'd go north, and now we are back on the southern side.
Gotcha. So tell me, lastly, what is one thing you would tell other female engineers coming up in the ranks now?
Don't take no for an answer. If you feel you're qualified, and I'm hoping that you have checked the qualifications that are necessary for the job. And that's all I can say. Don't be disrespectful. Keep your respect, respect others, and just don't give up. That's about it.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you for being an interviewer.
Thank you for being an excellent interviewee.
Thank you.